I want to call the committee meeting for August 5th to order. First on the list is the Committee of Whole, and that would be Dom with July Yard Beautification Awards.
Okay. So there's our awesome sign. You'll see it at the following homes. Am I using this clicker? You're doing it for me? Okay, thank you. Next. Okay, so first, this is Liz and Kyle's house, and they're actually here today. Their neighbors who submitted them, they said that they take pride in their yard and in the garden. They're very intentional to have native plants and are also very intentional to remove invasive species. Side note, Kyle is the forestry teacher at Roosevelt, so this is natural for him.
All right, can I jump in? Aren't you forestry teacher of the year? Is that correct? Yeah.
All right.
Teacher of the year, like in Ohio? Okay,
wow.
Very humble brag over here. So very proud of that. And then the next one is Renee and Randy Rich. I don't know how to say that. Thank you. The folks who submitted them, they had said that, well, there's not a built garden. They impressively used their yard and their side yard for native plants and flowers and vegetables as well. And Renee was super generous when I was there giving her her sign. She's like, do you want some of my plants? And I'm like, I mean, yes, actually, I probably will come back and get some. So if you want to stop over at 237 Highland, I'm sure she'll give you some as well. So that's who we have. If you see these signs, make sure if you know these people, say thank you for having great yards. And I'm going to take a picture, if you guys don't mind, come up here with council. And side note, this isn't on there, but tomorrow is another movie night. So if you have people who want to come to Artemis Park at 7 o'clock.
Thanks, Tom. Staff updates, Dave. We don't have any? Just did. Okay. Council pending list update. Yes.
We missed 1.3.
1.3 is postponed.
Oh, it is. I apologize for that. Yeah.
Most of the stuff, as you know, we try to knock it off to the next month or something. That's a lot of
Sorry, thank you very much. This tends to be, I'm having a night. This tends to be stuff that is more longer serving, sometimes intentionally waiting on things, sometimes just keeping it on the list because it's a topical area that you guys have said, yeah, you've satisfied the original motion, but we still care about this topic enough that we can just keep it on the list. We're fine with that. Remember too, that this is not the Ten Commandments written in stone. You can change this. You can add, it does, it gets added to. And I know at the previous meeting, Mr. Hook made a motion to remove something. So we've reflected that in here. Anyway, so you can, it's your to-do list, our to-do list, because it's kind of a joint effort, right? So some of these will look familiar to you. This first one here, Explore Senior Center Advisory Committee. That was the original motion, was just a Melissa Long, it shows you how dated that is. She wanted a actual separate standalone, just a way of sustainability commission. She wanted a senior citizen commission, basically. Council said, we really like senior citizens, but we don't want to get in the habit of having a bunch of different commissions. We think we can represent those interests in the council chambers and without a standalone commission. But they said, we care enough about seniors and we want to. We had some speakers come in and talked about what senior services were in other cities. And there's not a lot of senior support, senior activities here. There's certainly support agencies, but it's like a senior center. And if you recall, part of our inspiration for buying the church was Angela had some interest in perhaps trying to convert that to a senior activity center. It's still a work in progress. She's not here tonight, but I've been on part of conversations with her, getting a contractor in there to really figure out what it would take to turn that into a usable senior. She hasn't specifically said seniors yet, but an activity center of some sort, which seniors would be on that list. So it's still ongoing. We're happy to keep it on there. I think that's what I recommended. Yeah, keep it on there. So that'd be that recommendation. We had a conversation about Franklin Township sidewalk shoveling in that section. It's kind of like a little bit into the city, a little out of the city, then back in the city. And it's not all sidewalked. Some of the parts of it has sidewalk. Now, Jim has got that project in that section. Once East Main wraps up, hopefully he carries that all the way down to 261. And a big part of the funding, which he's got much of the funding secured for that. So we're excited about that. And that'll have actual designated wide sidewalks pulled back a little bit off the roadway. I think that's when this really matters. But in the meantime, we did learn a couple things that we actually do where there is sidewalk. Parks and Rec will continue down the hill for much of that section where there's sidewalk, not where there's not. And Bridget's folks, they do distribute the notices at the start of the season. And when there's man-made piles or now this year, natural accumulations, she will notify those businesses that they need to do it. Now, I guess we can't cite the ones that are technically not in the city, but we can certainly ask them to be good business neighbors. So we're happy, fine keeping it on the list if that's what you want. You could also probably remove it, but it's totally up to you.
I would like to keep it on the list because it is really about a partnership that hasn't really been worked through. And, you know, we are all looking forward to the day when sidewalks will be complete. And it might, for resources purposes, we might want to keep that partnership idea rather than taking it all on ourselves. But I think when the public and the township, people in the township see how wonderful it can be to have walkability, then there's going to be more interest in resource sharing at that point. So let's keep it on.
It's fine with us. The consent number three was the consent agenda, and that was removed. You already voted to remove that. So that was what Mr. Hook made a motion to. Noise ordinance, I think I suspect that will always be an ongoing issue of one version or another. You have had conversations, we have made changes, but I think there's still even more, a couple of things that we're still looking at, trying to gather more information. And there's a couple different, ironically, a couple of the outstanding requests were the opposite. It was to lighten, to loosen the noise ordinance. And those were by people that got cited. So anyways, you can't please everybody all the time. We think we try to strike a fair balance. And I think we keep that one on the list as far as we're concerned, unless you're inspired to remove it. The Downtown Historic District, that is probably best if just read that paragraph, but there has been a lot of discussion activity. And at the end of the day, a lot of the historic design elements were incorporated into the zoning code. You ceased the ARB functionality. And council had previously, and I think it's still the same sentiment that, hey, any property owner that wants to voluntarily, you know, make their property designation for historic, we welcome that. And we've got the ability to do it quickly. We have the expedited CLG certification. So, and we've done that. This council's probably, I think, one earlier this year. But the idea of us imposing, drawing lines and imposing this on people, property owners, council's been, and staff has not recommended that either. I think you could remove that from the list. What that would be. I'll finish and then you can decide which ones you want to keep. The Architectural Review Board, that one also, you pretty much have by default removed its existence and defunctionality. So I think that goes away, but keep in mind, that doesn't mean this next month or this month, you could re-put it, you could have a new version of that. So I know sometimes because there are folks that this does matter to this concept, even though the original motion to put it on the pending list has sort of been resolved, that doesn't mean it goes away forever. So if you don't want it to go away forever. So I would just share that I think for this, at this point, that one probably I would lean more towards. It's probably worth removing that from your list. This next one, the requirement for in-person board interviews and commission interviews, staff doesn't really have a strong opinion on that one. That's kind of, I guess, up to you guys to talk about. And we haven't scheduled time for that in committee, but I guess that's what would need to happen. I don't get the sense that it's a stressful, urgent item or somebody would have brought it up. I actually think some of this came from your predecessors. So I don't know how much you guys even carried interest in this. I believe it was Jeff that made a referral for the arborist, and it was tree issues during inspections. Can we flag some tree issues, tree safety issues on private property, particularly rentals? And so Bridget worked on that. I think she's talked to Jeff on that. We've incorporated some new forms, referral forms that her inspectors can use to advise central maintenance when they see a tree that we ought to have our arborist take a look at. We don't have the staffing to do every tree and every rental inspection, so we don't want to make it part of the specific rental process. But if it if we're there, we're happy to flag it and start, you know, kind of its own process at that point. So far, so good. I mean, it's just been this year that Bridget started that, but I hadn't seen any pushback on that. And then lastly, the warming centers concept. You know, you guys added $10,000, right? And we did that two seasons now, I think. So you had continued the pilot, you authorized its continuation. So I don't think we need to keep it on the list anymore, but again, we're fine to go whatever direction you want. So those are the items before you.
Hey guys, what are your wishes here?
Okay, you want to start down there, Ben? Kind of go down the line.
That would be
retain or remove.
Or should we just pick one and then we'll just kind of get a consensus on it?
That'd all probably right. Probably be easier.
So start with the Senior Center Advisory Committee.
Yes.
I agree with Sarah. Let's remove it.
Because we can put this back as a in a different form, perhaps. I agree that the Senior Center Advisory Committee has been on here long enough. I think we're moving forward, and maybe we'll come up with something else and put it on later. So I'm fine with removing.
Eric, remove. Remove. Okay, so
it's gone.
Should I do all in favor of removing? Yeah, all those people in favor of removing it, raise their hand.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so it's removed. Discussion of the Franklin Township or on sidewalk shoveling. We just do all those who want it removed. It's probably easier, right?
Yeah.
All those in favor of removing that from the pending list. All those who want it remained on the pending list?
Aye.
Okay, remains. Exploring the use of the consent agenda was already been removed. Council committees, noise ordinance review, in favor of removing. One, all those in favor of keeping. Four, five, so yeah, so it remains. Downtown Historic District, all those in favor of removing from the pending list? One, two, three, four, five. It's removed. Role of the Architectural Review Board. All those in favor of removing?
Aye.
Okay, passes. Okay, requirement of for in-person board interviews. All those in favor of removing? All those in favor of keeping it on the pending list? Okay, so that keeps on. Number five, arborists and health department included in rental inspections. All those in favor of removing?
Aye.
Okay, it's removed. And warming centers for the unhoused. All those in favor of removing? Three, four. So those who want to keep it on? One, two. So it's removed. Okay.
That's it. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. All right. So next is community development.
All right. And Bridget's coming up. We're going to talk about the economic development strategy update.
Yes. We have a consultant here today that I'm going to actually turn the mic over to let him introduce himself and talk about his process for the economic development strategy. But I did want to give everybody a little background on how we identify consultants. For those of you that may not be familiar, the Community Development Department issues requests for qualifications, and we identify consultants that have done the work that we are seeking in other Ohio cities. The consultant doesn't necessarily need to be based in Ohio, but we find that it really makes a difference if they have familiarity with the state of Ohio and its laws and have done work specifically in Northeast Ohio. The assistant community development director worked with me on identifying five consultants that had done work in Ohio, and we received just one proposal, but ironically it came from the one that we were hoping for. He has an extensive CV, as which I included in my packet. He has done basically economic development strategic work worldwide, but more importantly also in Northeast Ohio in many different details and formats. So far it has been a wonderful experience with him, and I would like to have Randall Gross come up and he can talk to you about his experience and what he's going to be doing with Kent.
Thank you, Bridget. Hello, everyone. I'm Randy Gross. I'm an economic and strategic planning consultant based in Nashville. Randall Gross Development Economics is the full name of my firm, which is a mouthful. Sorry about that. I've been consulting almost 40 years, so a lot of gray hair up here, and maybe about 700 or so projects worldwide. I had an office in Washington, D.C., London, and Johannesburg, South Africa for many years. I've worked all over Southern Africa, West Africa, Europe, and the North America primarily, but have done training actually worldwide. So a lot of experience in different aspects of economic development, which is maybe about 40 or 50% of my work. I also do a lot of real estate market analysis and financial feasibility assessment, which is also an important part of my work. And of course, their interface between the two of those. And then I do a lot of economic and fiscal analysis, economic and fiscal impact analysis, and other types of fiscal studies, and a variety of other things. For example, in Africa, I did a lot of agricultural economics and conservation economics. So my experience comes from a broad array of different areas. In addition to work internationally, as Bridget mentioned, I've worked in Northeast Ohio quite a bit, in your neighboring community of Hudson, Hudson, as well as in Stowe, in Cleveland, and Independence, some other communities in Northeast Ohio. So in addition to that, other parts of Ohio and a lot of college towns all over the place, including Granville, Ohio, which you're probably familiar with, and Oxford, Ohio, and some others. So I know a little bit about where you're coming from here, but the purpose of this trip that I'm on now is to really learn and listen from you about what your priorities are, what your interests are, what direction you'd like to see yourselves going in. So I've been holding some interviews this trip with different folks that were recommended to me, including, and I cannot pronounce his last name, but Don Sheldahl, as well as some folks from Davy Tree, some folks from the Portage Development Agency, as well as a small business person I'll be meeting with in downtown, and some representatives of Kent State University. But I welcome any suggestions you have on others to meet with while I'm here. I'll also be inventorying everything and doing site analysis and looking at everything that's here now so that I have a feel for the context of what we're working with. And I'll be, when I'm in downtown, for example, I'll be stopping in a lot of the businesses and conducting some ad hoc interviews with the folks that are working here as well. So that's kind of what I'm doing on this trip. I'll be also conducting two more trips, so I want to have an interface with you on those as well to give you feedback on what I'm doing and where I am with things, as well as to present some preliminary findings or strategies when I get to the end. There'll be, in addition to the site assessment, there'll be socioeconomic baseline analysis, so looking at all of your trends. I've already been reviewing a lot of the documentation that Bridget and her team have provided, and there's a lot of it. So there was the strategic plan you did last year, 2025, which I have reviewed, and a lot of other things. So I've been going through all of that documentation. I'll be doing a benchmarking assessment. So one of the questions I have for you tonight is what communities you'd like me to look at, in addition to the ones that I select on my own, in terms of benchmarking the city for economic development against others, for example, in Northeast Ohio or elsewhere. So I'm interested in your opinion on that. I'll be sort of conducting a target market analysis. And, you know, right now, when I looked at the strategic plan, I noticed that you're really looking at Northeast Ohio information about what the target industries are, what types of businesses you're looking at as a region. But the purpose of this, or one of the purposes of this, is really to focus on what is specifically your targets and your needs for your community, for Kent. So that'll be a big part of what I'm doing as well. And then they'll these economic development strategies and an implementation action plan that'll be developed out of this, that'll address things like business retention and growth, marketing and recruitment, entrepreneurship, keeping downtown vibrant, real estate and development, relationships with your various partners, infrastructure, leveraging all of those types of things. But I'll be hearing from you as well iteratively, so I want to know what other things you'll be wanting me to look at. And there'll also be metrics as part of this to sort of measure your progress going forward. And of course, all of this will be contained in a written report. So for tonight, as I mentioned before, I'd like to hear from you a little bit about what you feel the priorities are for economic development, if I have enough time to do that. Okay. And also sort of what benchmarking you'd like me to see, you'd like me to do in terms of Northeast Ohio or elsewhere, communities that you feel have been successful or that have achieved the kinds of things you'd like to achieve here, and the ways that you'd like to see economic development achieved. So I'm opening up the floor to you for also for any questions you have about me or my background as we move forward, but it's up to you now.
So who would like to start?
I've got a few comments. Hi.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome, Ken. So a couple, maybe some suggestions on additional persons to meet with, maybe a Copen machine because they're medium sized. And because we just invested in their future and it's directly adjacent to our downtown and employment growth is the projection. Okay.
Perfect. Right.
So like medium-sized businesses, like what is the environment for that? Of course, small businesses, but I just want to catch the spectrum. You're already meeting with Davey, which is great that, you know, as long as we get the spectrum so that we're, as knowledgeable as possible about all the different potential entities that might be interested in being in a place like Kent. When it comes to benchmarking, I don't think there's another Kent in Northeastern Ohio. And so it's just really hard to think about what that benchmark is. And so, gosh, I'd look to your expertise and thinking more broadly around benchmarking. Surely there's some economic indicators that you can look to for benchmarking, but our vibe is very different than the Hudson and Stowe that you've already done some work with, and because of our very real and large college and our boundaries, our sizing for sure as well. That's where I'll start and I'll just pass it to some other.
Can I ask Benjamin?
Yeah.
Benjamin works at the university.
Okay.
Do you have college towns that you would say, man, these are some of my favorite, and they are similar to Kent maybe. Do you have anything like that that you could think of given your...
I believe I know who you're meeting with at the university, and they will have a good answer to that.
Okay.
Yeah. I think you're meeting with Dana.
Yes, meeting with Dana on Friday.
Nick, perfect. Yeah. They will have a better answer than I have because they have it on the ready.
And I should say also that, as Bridget mentioned, I will be having focus groups next time I'm here that will have representatives of a broad array of different sectors of your local economy, including small businesses, woman-owned businesses, for example, different types of groups. And so I'll hear from a diverse array of different types of businesses and sizes.
I will add, a number of constituents have approached me and said, gosh, it'd be nice if we had more businesses like Chagrin Falls so that you can walk around and peruse. That has been mentioned to me a number of times. I don't know if that's possible because I know that retail business is very, very, very hard. And we do have so much storefront that it is, and we do have vacancies. And so, you know, those are very real things to our downtown. And then we have, you know, draw some concentric circles outside of the downtown, and we need to think about all areas as well.
Okay.
Yep. I'll pass the mic.
Are you ready, Melissa?
I'm not going to take up too much because we already spoke for well over an hour. But the one thing that we didn't talk about that ties into what Benjamin's talking about is that we really have an issue with parking, and that impacts our retail establishments. And it definitely impacts the churn that we talked about. And even though we don't necessarily think of that in economic development terms, it's a really big issue for the downtown businesses. So that idea of walkability is really true. I mean, Ben and I both walk all over town, so do other people here. But from a store's perspective, it's retail is hard. We don't want to make it harder.
Right.
So
Yeah. And I think in every downtown I work in, parking is one of the top three issues.
Yes, of course. Yeah, we're glad you're here. Thank you.
What are the other two?
Well, it's different in every community, but parking is a consistent one. Because everyone, you know, in America, we're used to parking and right next to where we want to go with convenience. So that's a big deal. A lot of places. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then if you do look at Chagrin Falls, they have a walkable little town with some parking, but it does not impact their retail like it does here, because they do have some really successful retail. And I only know this because I run a farmer's market in their downtown.
Okay. Thank you.
Who else would like to speak? Jeff? No? Nobody else? I would like to talk.
Good.
But I'm running this meeting, so I can't.
Oh.
Can we meet? I'm the downtown council representative.
Oh, perfect.
And I have a lot of very strong opinions and interests in economic development.
Okay. Is there anything else anyone wants to say about their priorities for economic, what you feel are your priorities? Or has it all been captured in the strategic plan that I've read?
Mm-hmm. Priorities.
Can I just add that council has been, I don't know, knee deep, hip deep in what we sort of anecdotally call downtown part two, which was along the river railroad corridor. Mm-hmm. They're doing like a strategic planning exercise in conjunction with community members too. And I don't know if we've shared that information with you, Randy, but there's been a lot of conversation about that we've built this great sort of physical infrastructure downtown, and now we just need to continue to activate and animate it. And a lot of that seems to resonate really well with sort of experiential retail, experiential dining. Mm-hmm. And I think Chagrin Falls has some of that feel to it too. I haven't spent much time there, but I think we're leaning more and more towards what can we do, add into the downtown amenity-wise, sort of quality of life things. There's been there was a master plan done for Parks and Recreation, and one of their top priorities was more small recreational activity things for families and others downtown, sort of worked into the general topography down there. And Sarah's probably going to raise her hand and say she wants the London Eye.
okay.
It's been a fun process because we're spitballing ideas and we've got a fair number of those, and we're happy at some point. I don't know if we've given you an elf. I know he's like, no more. So
no, I didn't say no more. Bring it on. I mean, but there, the experiential component, that word actually was used multiple times in the strategic plan. Okay. So I was familiar with that, but the specific ideas that you have, I welcome whatever concepts.
That's what I was going to say. So when you're looking at this plan, you're also going to look at what's the community's already contributed to our downtown part two. Okay. So all the way at the tippy top, splash pad.
Yeah. And that was on the list.
An amphitheater. So those kind of things, if you're looking in like those habitually come back from community members that they want to see more family oriented things, and actually things that are geared toward university students as well. So will you be here for Flash's first Friday? Because maybe you should come. Mm-hmm.
What time of day is that?
Oh, he won't be here. You should come back. It will be a good opportunity to meet with people.
Video it.
That's
That would be good.
I think it's important. It may not be self-evident, but in the spirit of putting our money where our mouth is, council is investing, we're anticipating $250,000 specifically into parks and recreation for the first time ever, because they're kind of self-funded. And the reason I point that out is because we're categorizing a lot, whether it's splash pad, a downtown Ferris wheel, or, I mean, we jokingly, but we think it's important to throw everything out, that those are supportable as economic development investments. So it's kind of, we've broadened the, we've gone from the bricks and mortar of the downtown redo that we spent 10 years doing mm-hmm. to now we're sort of, I call it the soft tissue. We built the hard tissue, the bones, and now to optimize the hard stuff, we want to really build the soft stuff, the people stuff. And that's where we're hearing it resonate really well, that that splash pad, you name any kind of those amenities, access to the river, Whitewater Park downtown, you know, all these kind of amenities, trail access, are, we think those are fair game as part of an economic development strategy. I don't know if we've explicitly said that to you, but I would tell you that it, it's meaningful here because they're even putting $250,000 towards it.
And I think what I usually start with are your existing strengths or assets in anything related to economic development or downtown revitalization, whatever. And I think, you know, you have a river. It's connected to a national park, correct? And so, you know, looking at that as an asset and how you can build on that downtown, to me, rings a bell, like an idea that I think is very well placed. Mm-hmm. Things like splash pads and all of that can actually fit in nicely with trails, with river kayaking mm-hmm. activity, with river access. And so there are ways to tie those things together, make it work.
And that's what I was going to say, too, when we're talking about downtown. We, as a council, have talked a lot about getting access to the river before other towns around us do it. So that's super important, I think, as well. And it will bring families of all ages together. So I think that that's really important that you can spend some time looking at that for us.
I was just going to go, actually, I was going to go more specifically into the river talk, is that there's a dam 10 miles downstream that's coming out that will open the river basically from just the north side of Kent to, I don't know what the next dam, I don't think exists anymore. I think it's the last dam on the river until you get to the national park. So mm-hmm. two of the towns downstream of us are already planning to see what they can do to capitalize on it, but we're mm-hmm. furthest upstream. So mm-hmm. I think we need to be first to the party, and it's like a once in a generation or once in a lifetime. That dam's been there for 90 years. So once in a lifetime opportunity to cash in on what's in our downtown. So I think that needs to be a top priority because we don't get this chance again.
And it also fits nicely with the university, you know, having being here and everything else.
Ben?
Yeah. A couple more comments. The recreation, I double down on that. So like we have the opportunity to invest in that, but we cannot. Our hands are tied a lot in private investment and economic development. In some ways, we can just provide a good atmosphere for those investments. I was looking over your scope of work, and it doesn't include housing. And I know that we're doing a housing study. But if there was a way to consider the economics of adjacency for housing, so we know anecdotally, or I'll speak in I terms. I know anecdotally that more young families want to live in Kent that are not able to. And what does that mean for economic development? Like, and I'm sure the housing study will illustrate housing stock. We're 60% rental as a town, but a lot of that rental is students that attend the university. And so it's transient, it's short term, literally it's 4 years in and out, 3 years in and out, less than sometimes, and or it's moving around. And so there's not as long of an investment made by those individuals just because of time. I had one more point and I lost it. It'll come to me.
It'll come. Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
Oh, but it came. The short-term rentals, like the Airbnbs in the area, are renting to those that are coming to the national park. So we are in the concentric circle of people coming for the national park, in addition to other reasons. So we're already connected to the national park. People are staying this far away to visit that national park, and we can benefit from that, and we can probably say that better because it's already happening, and we can probably say that louder and with river access and direct connection and all the other connective tissue that we could draw.
Okay.
Because the national park isn't going anywhere, and it's really close at hand. Both.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I would like to make a few summary statements. Is that okay, everybody? Okay. First of all, we pride ourselves on being unique. We pride ourselves on being out ahead of the curve. We developed Kent as a destination. Unfortunately, a lot of other communities kind of ripped off some of what we've done, and they're trying to replicate it. So we need to continue, which is what I heard Ben and several of you saying, to be that community that thinks ahead, thinks outside the box. We have a very committed population here. They love being here. This is a self-contained community. And we like to see ourselves as unique. We value our diversity. We value our kind of weirdness and our vibrancy. When I was first elected to council many years ago, I took a trip down to Asheville, North Carolina, because I thought maybe that would be sort of a kind of a community that could inspire us. And, you know, it's a music town and an art town. And I think that was part of it. And it's a walkable city. And, you know, it's not necessarily college town, but it has a lot of nature. People are really into the environment around it, the trails and everything. I loved it there. I don't know what it's like now after the big floods and stuff, but that seemed to be kind of had our vibe. Boulder, Colorado was one of our sister the communities we looked at as being kind of Kentian, or, you know, something to take off after. I lived in Santa Cruz, California before moving here. And I said, what's the matter with this town? It could be another Santa Cruz. So we do struggle with, you know, resources, but we like to think creatively and, you know, really be that community that people want to come to and people want to live here. And the housing issue is a big one for me, because we do hear people want to live here. Once they're here, they never want to go anywhere else. So that's another thing, is we need housing for people that want to trade different kinds of housing and go somewhere else. And that's kind of what I just want to say as a summary, because I think a lot of you hit on many of those points. We want to continue to build the soft tissue, but we want to continue to become economically viable and get more jobs. That's important. Good jobs. We even found minimum wage jobs help pay. Mm-hmm. You know, so anything that can bring that kind of vibrancy. You know, we don't want a data center, you know. We want good jobs, good quality jobs. We want to attract young professionals and newly retireds and families. Families has been a really big focus in recently, and we discovered that maybe we're a little deficit at the family, you know, creating experiences for families. Did I summarize?
I think so. Did you work on the amphitheater project for Stowe? I see Stowe here for market potentials and fiscal impacts for their new.
No, I was part of their comprehensive plan in Stowe. So I didn't work on a specific, it was more of a citywide
and
question
then
there.
Creating a new, because I know that they were looking at our downtown as a walkable for there. So you're involved in that?
In the very early stages of that, I mean, again, it was part of their comprehensive plan probably 25 years ago, maybe 20 years ago. The most recent work I've done around here was in Independence, their economic development.
Heidi, one last comment.
Sure.
Sorry. In our packet today is the annual report from Main Street Kent. I'm sure you're going to meet with them, but it's an absolute driver for a lot of the activity and like such a great investment from the city and this two person strong and hundreds of volunteers at their backs helping to make amazing economic activity happening that comes to this place. And so like thinking about that and the impact that has had on our community and kind of like illustrate their report that I'm sure you'll get. So
Okay, thank you.
Are we invited to your focus groups? Report back after.
We still have to talk about who's invited to those, but we'll discuss that. Usually the elected officials are not part of the focus groups unless you're...
Unless you have a business?
Pardon?
If you have a business?
If you have a business and you're part of that sector, probably.
Okay.
So I want to thank you for being willing to come and talk to us and keep bringing it back, because it's really a vital topic to our community, and you know, it really links into everything.
Yes.
And one thing is, we have realized that we are urbanizing. We are a small city that's landlocked, but we're urbanizing, and density is becoming something that people are getting to be okay with. So we can think about that kind of model as well. No, we're weaning people off the parking and, you know, helping people understand that if they park somewhere, they can walk a few blocks and enjoy the scenery along the way and maybe get caught up in something fun.
Well, often college towns are the lead communities for walkability.
Yep.
Around the country, as you know, having been to Boulder and places like that. So that's a big part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, great. Thank you. Hope to meet with you.
Thank you very much. Okay. Nice meeting all of you.
All right, we have
Housing Board was established a long time ago, and when it was originally established, it was actually a quasi-judicial board. Since there have been changes in fair housing law, virtually every community moved their fair housing regulatory compliance to actual fair housing agencies that have attorneys and specialize in that. But one of the items that we've done actually amendments to this, adding, as you know, protected classes locally, and also other things that HUD has required us to do. But one thing that has remained in here is, of the 7 members, 5 is required for quorum. And that has become a challenge for us. We've had to cancel meetings because we basically could only get 4, and the last meeting, they wanted to vote on a resolution or a letter that they wanted to send to the state, but they only had 4. So I am here to request that it be changed to match Robert's rules, basically a majority. So the quorum would be 4 versus 5.
Any questions, Ben?
No question, but comment. Having been on the board, I support this.
Anybody else? Any comments from the audience? Don? Mm-hmm. All right, back to council. Any motion?
Make a motion to approve this change to a majority with emergency.
I'll second.
Any comments from council? Great. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against? Same sign.
Thank you.
All right, passes. And the committee is now closed.
Okay. Yes. So we have Rhonda coming up to talk about those certifying and the movement of these unpaid bills owed to the city of Kent to the county for collection.
Correct. And Rhonda,
yes.
Before you start, because I'm kind of confused, Melissa asked me a question before the meeting started. Will these be 3 different ordinances as opposed to just one with everything on it?
I think in the past they have been 3 separate
ordinances. Okay, that's what I thought, but I wanted to ask you if, so we'll do each one of these separately, and then I will check.
I think it was 3. Okay, so the first one you have, at least I don't know in your packet which one you have first, but I'm going to do the concrete sidewalk bills. So in accordance with our codified ordinances 521.06 section, it allows us to certify any unpaid sidewalk program delinquencies. And so this is the first one of 33,000.
Do you want to reference, I know this is the end of the
pipeline, but you've done a lot of notification to the people. You've tried to get them to pay. This is, it's not like we're just throwing these names on a list. There's been a lot of pre-effort to get them to pay. Yes.
So each department takes care of their own delinquencies, but we send second notices. We've even sent third notices, especially for, I know, utility billing. We send the notices with a letter saying, if you don't pay by X date, your delinquency is going to be put on your property tax bill come September. And I think it's September 9th that we have to certify it to the county by. So, yeah, we do a lot of due diligence and trying to get people to know that this is due to the city and try to get them to pay in advance of having to put it on the property taxes, because the county then puts their fee on top of that. So,
questions from council?
Ben. Yeah, an actual question this time, not a comment. If a resident for the concrete program that hasn't paid, is there a financial hardship application process?
They've already done that. So if a person is meet certain criteria, they either get it for half price or free.
Okay.
So they've already done that before this whole.
Okay.
When they actually apply for it, you know, when they're going through and doing the sidewalk program, they already are talking with each resident about that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Any other questions from council?
Sorry, I'm new, so I just need to ask this question. So mostly because I lost my paper, but I'm just going to. So when someone needs this program, and do they pay anything up front, or it's only after the fact that
that's usually up to the engineering department, but we usually work with the individuals to say, if you need a payment plan, we'll work with you that way. We don't just say, this is what you owe and it's due upon receipt of the bill.
Oh, hi.
Jim's calling.
Sure. So you were asking about the sidewalk program?
Yeah.
Okay, so the short version is in the codified ordinances, it's the property owner's responsibility to maintain the sidewalk. 94, council approved a series of rebates, discounts for hardships, for things out of their control, like tree-related issues. And so when we go to a street, as part of the street program, we walk, we assess the street, the sidewalks, we determine which ones need to be repaired for the safety of the public, send a notice to the property owner saying, hey, in a year, we're going to do this program. Here's the things that you are responsible for, and you can either do it yourself, or we'll do it for you. And here's an estimate of what it would cost you. And if you are available for these programs, please provide us the information. In general, anything street tree related is free because it's not their cause. If it's owner occupied residential, they'll get 50% off anything. And if they're low income owner occupied residential, it's free.
Oh, okay.
So, did that help?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions from council? So can we do a vote on this one?
Sure.
One at a time. Sure. So, anybody have a motion for this?
Yeah, I'll move this section, the annual concrete repair, for approval.
Any second?
With emergency.
All those in favor? Oh, I'm sorry.
With emergency.
With emergency. Then you second that with second. The emergency. Any other comments or questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Passes.
Okay. I'm sorry. Shouldn't have said that. Not my job to say pass. So the next section.
The next one is the delinquent non-utility. So this includes, per the memo, any violation that is created by the law code enforcers and also the health department. So you have a list for each of the community development and the health department for their citations/violations that are going to get sent to the county as well.
Any questions? No. Back to council for a motion.
I'll move to authorize with the emergency.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Okay. All right, and the last one is the utility billing debtors. This is in accordance with an ordinance that was passed in 2012, ordinance number 2012-110. It is for section 913.07, 915.72, 921.24, and 935.14 of the codified ordinances, which gives us the authority to send to the county any delinquents for water, sewer, solid waste, and stormwater. And keep in mind, for all three of these, if anybody pays between now and August 31st, they will come off the list. So you will get a list with the ordinance at the next council meeting that'll have the most recent updated list. But if anybody pays even after that date, the list is going to change. We will take their name off of that list before it gets certified.
And
will they be notified that it, or have they already been notified that it may be referred for a lien?
In for what?
For the county.
Well, we have sent them a letter that states that if they don't pay by August 31st,
yeah,
any balance that's due will be sent to the county.
Any other questions, Jeff?
So I know that this one, the Villages of Franklin Crossing, has been whatever it's been for a while. But it's an extraordinary amount of money. It's like, yeah, it's $254,000. And there's some $22,000, some $11,000. So this is like an outrageous amount of money that could buy some nice things. There are ordinances we could pass that would be incredibly more harsh for rental properties that aren't keeping up. Like, if you're 90 days behind, your water is shut off in your building, now your building's condemned, so figure it out and pay us.
If they're 2 months delinquent, we're already putting them on a shut-off list.
Right, but I know, like, when we talked about the Franklin Crossing, we didn't want to kick people out before the school year ended. And that guy, let's, you know, for lack of a better term, is not a very nice guy.
Well, I do have some good news. Yeah. Is we, I checked before the meeting today because I knew she was going to ask. Sarah's going to ask. They have paid their bill on the 002 property parcel number. So they have paid the lion's share of last year's delinquencies that we submitted to the county.
Okay.
The 001, they still haven't made a payment since it was either 2024 of $48,000 or the beginning of 25 for $48,000. So they still owe the county quite a bit of money.
Right.
And the county's going to come before us.
Could we, and I don't know if this is Hope's job, but could we force, if somebody's in this situation or has a rental, like, they, you're going to have to put up a deposit equivalent to 60 days worth of average water use, you know, to the prior tenants, so that at the very least, when we shut your water off, we still get our money. I mean, are these just options to explore? Like, I don't know.
Yes, what I think that is. When I worked in Cauca Falls, something in my head is niggling me to say we did that.
Okay.
To an extent. I can look at that.
Yeah, I just, we don't want to get in this situation again. So.
And I think Kent actually had that at one time where they were requiring deposits. I'm not sure what happened with the program.
Heidi.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but a number of years ago, we changed who was liable for the bill to the property owner, the landlord, basically, versus the tenant for those types of situations. So the landlord could very easily ask for a deposit from their tenants coming in. You know, it seems like maybe this seems to be, I don't know, it looks like a very high percentage of rental properties are here, and they probably are feeling burned from their tenants, and they need to figure out how to tighten that ship a little bit more.
And I know that currently the state is allowing us to charge the property owner. But they're looking at changing that, not allowing us to charge the property owner and making us go after the tenant.
Of course.
That, of course, hasn't passed yet. And so we'll determine what we have to do if that ever happens. Hopefully it doesn't.
Well, then we would have to definitely institute some kind of.
Because once a tenant moves out, it's almost near impossible to find them. Unless, of course, the state attorney general's office is then going to help us with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do with Medicare.
I mean, we had that similar situation with income taxes, and was one of the motivations for going with Rita, because it gave us access to their resources, go after people through the federal tax. We, as a city, we don't have access to the federal tax, if I have that correct, but Rita does. So Rita could track those, I guess, social security numbers, whatever, for those people that leave here and don't pay their tax. We were out of luck. Rita has helped us pretty significantly on that. I would guess we need a version of that for water and sewer.
So any other questions related to moving this to the county, this particular line item, anybody? Back to you for a motion.
I'll move to approve it and forward it to the county with emergency.
Second.
There is a
with emergency.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other comments?
I actually just have one more. So anything that has 002, you're saying that they've paid, or let's, this is, when we get this next list, that's going to come off of this paper.
Well, that's not even on this. So next year, you're saying, yes, if they continue paying, this will be paid next year, by next year.
Okay.
Because what they paid through their property taxes now, they actually paid it in June. That's for last year's balance due.
Any other comments? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Thank you.
All right, annual renewal of the school resource officer agreement. Chief Stone.
As Chief Stone makes his way forward, I think you'll recognize this is his first presentation, so a lot of pressure. We met all afternoon prepared. No, we did meet all afternoon. It wasn't on this topic. But I reassured him that, you know, I think this is a fairly popular program, so I don't think you can mess it up. I think you just go and, you know, let them know you're going to continue it, and you'll get a mini applause, and thank you very much. So, Chief, anything you want to?
Thank you. Supporting this city council, I ask that we continue our good relationship with the Kent City Schools. Starting the academic year in the city schools with Patrol Officer Dominic Poe of the Kent Police Department serving as a school resource officer. The Kent City School District reimburses the city for the costs of his salary benefits during the months that he's there. And I ask for your favorable approval of this, please.
All right. Any questions from council? There's nobody in the audience. Do we have a motion?
I'll make the motion with emergency. Yeah.
All those in favor? Aye. Opposed? All right. Easy peasy.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Streets and Sidewalks, Mr. Tipton.
It's coming up. I can see North Manaway Street Improvement Project right of way donation.
Thank you. So we're here tonight requesting council's approval to accept the donation of 7 easements from 3 parcels from the Davy Tree Expert Company in relation to the North Manaway Street project. 2 of the easements are what we call permanent highway easements, so they can use that, we can use that land for roads, utilities, or other things. Two other easements are permanent shared use path easements, so they're basically for walkways to get them, move them away from the roadway. And then 3 others are temporary easements for us to build the project as it was designed and put forth by the public. So in order to complete the project, we're going to need right away from 2 owners. One's Davy Tree and the other is Kent City School District. And happy to say both have at least verbally agreed to donate, and of course Davy Tree will sign there. So we're here looking for your approval with the emergency.
Question? Go ahead.
It's not a question, it's a comment. I just want to thank both Davy Tree and the Kent City Schools for being such great partners and helping us move this project forward. It's in all of our interests, but I appreciate it anyway.
Thanks. Any more questions from council? Questions? No one's in the audience, so passing it back for a motion.
I'll move to approve with emergency.
I'll second. with emergency.
Any further comment? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. It passes. Any opposed? I didn't hear. I heard everybody. All right, Jim, thank you for being up there for the request for city water service at 5085 State Route 43.
So we received a request to provide water to a location that's outside the city. Since it's outside the city, it requires council's approval. So we're here tonight requesting your approval to provide water to 5085 State Route 43. We do not see any problem with providing them water in that location.
Heidi.
Are they in Arjed?
They're in a JED, yes. However,
are they part of our JED? Have they agreed to be part of the JED?
The JED is only businesses, commercial. Is this a commercial establishment? Okay.
Then it yes, it is.
We have to check. It is commercial. Correct.
They're not petitioned in, but they could choose to join it.
They could. That would be something different to the township would be approaching them.
Because I thought the purpose of a JED was to be able to bring services to the business in exchange for their income tax to be divided. And I realize Eric's not here, but it doesn't seem to be working. And if we just provide services without anything other than they're going to pay us for the service.
Well, they'll be paying for the water, but the JED purpose is actually to share income taxes with townships.
Sure.
Because they're unincorporated and they can't. Mm-hmm. So it expands our footprint with regards to the collection of income tax. But at the time that the petitions are signed and the agreements are established, those add to it. So adding it to parcels, typically it's a question presented to them of, you know, are you willing? And many don't because they have to be paying income tax. They're like, what do we get out of it? I will tell you, I've said this before, the JEDs run here are different than the JEDs that I worked on in Summit County. The M&E, the M&I monies went towards the expansion of infrastructure. These debt agreements in Franklin and Burnsville Township were not set up that way. So incentivizing adding them after this agreement has occurred is a bit of a challenge.
I kind of understand that. But I've heard this so often that they don't want to join the JED. But maybe this is something for the economic development plan, strategic plan to look at, because I don't see that it's really a success.
It is, actually. It generates, Ronnie can speak to how much we get from income tax from the JED that contributes to our revenue. So that is a it is a factor. It's a few hundred thousand dollars a year. So it is absolutely worth the time. But not every parcel in the JED boundary of the district has signed in to be part of the JED. And that's the case everywhere. The opportunity to add additional parcels typically comes if there is a permanent extension of main utility lines. And, you know, that is something that Brimfield is working on coming up this way, but it is years in the making. We actually just had a JED meeting today with Brimfield, and they're going to be talking to the new sheets that went in to see if they'll sign into the JED. Because of the increase in fire services they need at the JED. So it's convincing businesses that these additional services are needed, where this small dentist office may not see the benefit of that. They're still going to be paying for the water, but there's really not much else they need from the JED.
All right. So they already have, this is an existing water main that they can tap into. So we'll get the tap-in fees.
Correct.
And then we'll also get the service. I mean, I want to sell water.
There is a surcharge that they will pay as well.
Yeah.
They pay a surcharge. Anyone outside the city that did not sign the original JED pays a 50% surcharge for their water, for any water they use.
Okay. I mean, I don't want to not get a new customer. I just wonder if there was like some other incentives we can build into. Yeah.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. So, again, if they pay 50%, this business is going to pay a 50% surcharge on the water for forever?
Forever.
So we initially cover the $11,668, no, or
they pay that.
They pay that, mm-hmm, and they actually paid a surcharge on that dollar amount as well. If they were in the city, they would have been 15% less. Okay. And also, I guess I would add, we did not pay for the construction of the water line down there either.
Yes.
We're providing the water, and we're going to maintain the line.
Is there a potential for more customers in that same area that we could kind of tap into?
Yes, there is.
You know, there's a housing development.
The housing development, we provided water to them.
Yes.
That's who built the line that now the dentist office can tell you to.
Yeah. No, I know that. I know that. Now I'm thinking more customers. How can we expand customers?
So anyone can, who wants to tie into our water, can present it and ask for it.
Anyone outside the city can request council's approval to tie into our water. You do not have to say yes, but if we have a water line there.
You also have service area agreements with Portage Water, so it's not a free-for-all, but there are opportunities where it makes more sense to have us service somebody than Portage, and you actually are studying that, are you not?
We are studying that in this location, in this general area, so that we can basically effectively, efficiently build out this area by either us providing water or Portage County Resources providing water.
How long will this take to do then?
For this particular, they'll probably have their tap done in the next month or so.
Oh. Hmm.
Any further questions? No. No one in the audience. Back to council for comments.
I'll anybody move to approve with emergency.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you.